Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening. Welcome to our midweek service here at Grace Family Church. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to come together. Hallelujah, and be together. And we just welcome those of you who are joining us this evening. Welcome our church family, all of our friends. I want to remind you, Colossians chapter 2 tells us that even though you may be absent in the flesh, yet you can be present in the Spirit. So, hallelujah. I mean, hitch them up, hook them up with me tonight. Believe God with me for something that the Father would bestow upon us. You know, He's already bestowed His great love and mercy upon us, even to the place that now we're called the sons of God. John wrote about this to the church. He said, "Behold, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us that we are called the sons of God?" Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. But you know what? He continues to minister. He gives grace to the humble. I'm telling you, grace and peace has multiplied to us. We'll see this in just a moment. So just believe with me. Paul said to the church at Rome when he came, he wrote a letter to him. He said, "When I come to you," he said, "I long to see you that I may impart something spiritual to you." But he said these very important words. He said, "It's the mutual faith, both of you and me." It's not a one-way ticket. It's not a one-way street. It's not what the preacher can do. Everybody just join in, come in, watch online, say, "Okay, what you got tonight? What you got?" No, it ain't what I'm got. It's what He's got. And it's what we can believe, and it's what we can draw on. Amen. That's it. Amen. Amen. Preach it, preach it. Hallelujah. Agree with me tonight. I'm about half stirred up, so it's going to be good, I believe. Join with me. Oh, it's so wonderful to be with you and to be with Him. Hallelujah. I know we laugh and have some fun, but it's just really a blessing to me. And I know it is to you as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love and mercy. Thank you for the love you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for sending Jesus to us, bringing life to us, bringing salvation, imputing righteousness to us, your righteousness. Oh, thank you. Giving us your Spirit. Oh, Holy Ghost, we thank you. You're with us. And you live in us. And we lean heavily. We trust and acknowledge you as our helper, the one who gives utterance, helps me speak as I ought to speak, and brings light and revelation and understanding, imparts things to our hearts, quickens our mortal flesh. We thank you tonight. We give you thanksgiving. And we thank you, Father, for all of these things. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. You got your Bibles. Let's go to our text scripture, the book of James, chapter 5. We started a series a few Wednesday nights ago called Establish Your Heart. And so we're establishing our hearts. And so I want you to turn to James chapter 5. We see here in verse 7, James writing to the church here, he said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain." Look at verse 8. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So we know that the Father has long patience because He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. But James also says here that we're to be patient, but we're not only to be patient. Patient means to be constant, not wavering, not tossed to and fro. We're to be patient, but we're to establish our hearts in the meantime, especially at His coming. Well, we know His coming is nigh. So that's what we're doing here. Turn over with me. Take a right. We'll keep going. Go to 1 Peter. We've looked at these scriptures. These are our texts. Or excuse me, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, now I want to emphasize that phrase, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I mean, there's a lot of things we see here. We know that grace and peace is multiplied unto us. It can be multiplied. Not just added to us. It can be multiplied to us through the revelation and the knowledge we have of our Father and of the Lord Jesus. He's given us His divine power, and He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the revelation of the knowledge of Him. But He goes on to say this, whereby are given unto us these promises, these scriptures that we're looking at tonight, what we've been looking at the last few Wednesday nights. We're looking at exceeding great and precious promises. I'm talking about keynote scriptures in the Bible that bring unto us not only a revelation of God's heart and who He is and His heart towards us, but it helps us, enables us to partake of something that is supernatural, not just the norm, not just the ordinary, the divine nature of God. Oh, what a blessing. Let's keep going right. Let's go to 3 John. You got 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 3 John just has one chapter, only has 14 verses in it. But let's look at verse 3. John writing to the church here, he says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." Now remember, Jesus told His disciples in the upper room in John, the 17th chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17, He said, "Thy word is truth." He was praying. He said, "Father, Your word is truth." Well, Jesus, we know, is the living word. What did Jesus say about Himself? He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. I'm the way. I'm the truth." So listen, He is the truth. The written word reveals unto us the living word. That's why grace and peace is multiplied to us. That's why we're able to partake of of His divine nature. That's why we can receive something divine and supernatural that pertains to life and godliness while we're here. Oh, praise God. So, John said, "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Not only is the truth in you, but you walk in that truth. First of all, it has to be in you. That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about establishing our heart in the truth or in the word. And not only establishing our heart, we walk in that truth. We walk in these promises because they've been given unto us. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. So let's go to the book of Isaiah. The last few weeks we went through the book of Psalms and we went through the book of Proverbs. But tonight we're going to go to the book of Isaiah. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. I want to say this again. There's so many scriptures that we're not going to cover. I mean, many, many scriptures. However, these are scriptures that I've written down that has meant a lot to me, that I've focused on over the years, that I've turned my attention to. Praise God. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Now I want to go back and look at the first three verses here, just for a few minutes. course, we know this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came out of the stem of Jesse. And yet, he said, a branch shall grow out of his roots. I'm reminded of the scripture over in the Gospel of John, chapter I think it's chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. You know, we're joint heirs with Jesus now because of the finished work of Jesus and what he did for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we know that a branch can do nothing unless the life of the vine brings life to the branch. I mean, he is our life. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, he said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He's our all in all. He's the head of all principality and power. And thank God we're complete in him. Oh, hallelujah. So, I want to notice this. I want to bring attention to this. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon Jesus. You know, God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. You know, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. When he came up out of that river, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Okay? And he was anointed. I mean, Jesus never did any miracle, any signs and wonders before he was anointed with the Spirit of God. I mean, he had divine life in him. He had the Father's divine blood in him. But he never entered into ministry and did any miracles. See, some people think that, you know, when he was a child, 12, 13 years old, you hear stories, you know, a little bird broke his leg and Jesus healed the little leg, put it back on the bird, whatever. That is not true. I mean, we've heard things like that. I know. I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but you hear stories like that. I heard stories like that. But see, we know that at the wedding of Cana, where he turned the water into wine, the Bible tells us that was the first miracle that he performed. It didn't say it was the third or the fifth or the tenth. It was the first. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God. I've got good news for you. If you've been born again, if you've received him, you've been born of his Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You've got the same stuff in you that was in him. Oh, glory to God. But let's look at this for a second because we need to see this. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And it made him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he didn't judge after the sight of his eyes, and he didn't reprove after the hearing of his ears. Oh, my brother and sister, this is so important. You know, it goes back to some things that we've been talking about in our Sunday services about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. Last Sunday, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, you know, it is written that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him. Like I said Sunday, a lot of people stop right there and say, well, you know, eye has not seen nor ear heard. We just don't know. But you need to keep reading the scriptures. But it goes on and says, but God has given us his Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He said, what things knows a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Neither knows anyone the things of God save the Spirit of God, or except the Spirit of God. But God has given us the Spirit, not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Know what? Know what eye has not seen nor ear heard. Let me show it to you like this. You know, when I said just a moment ago, because you've received him, now listen to me, you've received him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I made reference to Colossians chapter 2 where the Bible says that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But Paul went on to say to the church, because see, he wants us to understand something. He said, and you too are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Well, the Amplified talks about you too are filled with the Godhead. You have the Godhead in you as a believer. So, You have the anointing. You have the Spirit within you. You have an anointing that abides in you. You have an unction from the Holy One that lives in you. And so now you can operate and follow the example of your master. You can be led by the Spirit of God, and you can receive things and know things that's beyond what your eyes see and what your ears hear. In other words, you can follow the Spirit of God and not be moved and not make decisions and not be led by what you're looking at with your natural eye or what you just hear with your natural ear. Because the Spirit of the Lord that was on him now resides in you. I'm telling you, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Why? Because God lives in you now. In the old covenant, the Spirit of God could come on people to do certain things, but now the Spirit of God dwells in you. Paul said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, hallelujah. So, the Spirit of God can help you and me as we walk our daily walk, and he can help us not be tossed to and fro, not be snatched around in our emotions, not just react to something in a manner that we wish we hadn't reacted that way, get caught up in the moment, get caught up in the fervency of what was said or what we saw. You know, Jesus didn't operate that way. When somebody says, yeah, but that's Jesus. You know, we can't do that. You know, he's Jesus, we're not. Yes, he is Jesus, and we're not. But his Spirit lives in you. The same Spirit that was upon him and anointed him now has anointed you. You know, Paul said this to the church at Corinth in his second letter. He said, he, talking about the Father, he that hath, past tense, H-A-T-H, he that hath anointed us and hath established us is God. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful news for you and me. Now, what we've got to do is look at these scriptures, establish our heart in these things, feed on these things, meditate on these things, and just have a prayerful heart and an attitude of prayer in our heart when we go to the Word of God, saying, Lord, help me to walk. Like John talked about, Lord, you inspired that scripture. You greatly rejoice when you know and see that your Word and your truth is on the inside of our heart and that we look to you to walk in that truth. See, we're not trying to do anything of our own effort or of our own strength. We acknowledge him in all of our ways. You know, we talked about that last week. But when we acknowledge him, oh, I'm talking about the one that lives on the inside of you, the Spirit within you, he will help you. And he will help you, and he will guide you, just like he did the Lord Jesus. Same Spirit that was upon him and anointed him is the same Spirit that's in you. It's not a different Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Same Spirit. And he'll help you. And he'll live inside of you. And he lives inside of you. And he'll help guide you. The love of God inside of you can constrain you. You know, part of the fruit of the Spirit, or the work of the Spirit within you, is temperance. It's not of your own strength. It's something of the Spirit. You don't just go by what you're looking at. Well, that can work in many areas of your life. The Holy Spirit will help you even in your physical body if you have symptoms. He will help you. He's there to help you and to strengthen you and to counsel you and help you to look at Jesus. You remember Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is here to take that which is of me and to show it to you and establish your heart in it. And so he'll help you keep your focus on the truth, the reality of what Jesus has done, who he is, and what he's done for you. I'm talking about when everything you see or feel or what's being said while your ears hear, there's something greater. He's the greater one that lives in you, and he's greater than he that's in this world. Oh, glory to God. Now, one more thing before we move on from the scripture. It refers to the fear of the Lord twice. I was thinking about this today. The fear of the Lord has to do with honor and reverence and respect. You know, Jesus was anointed. The Spirit of God was upon him. But notice the fear of the Lord is mentioned here, about the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus' attitude and the work of the Spirit that was upon him really affected him in such a manner that he'd say, I only want to say what I hear my Father say. I only want to do what I see my Father do. Can I say something to you? And listen, please understand the spirit and the heart that I'm saying this. To me, in some of the modern day church, and even in some of our churches, there's a lack of the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about being afraid of God. The Bible says we come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly to him. You know, we see the mistake in the garden. Even when Adam sinned and messed up, he hid himself. Okay, and he began to blame his wife and even God. The woman you gave me. Okay, but that was not, listen, he should have come to God. We're not talking about being afraid of God, but we're talking about a reverence and a desire to honor him and to follow him and to listen to him. And to be obedient to him. It isn't obedience of faith, not of works, but still faith has a response in word and deed, according to the New Testament scriptures. And yet there's a lot out there that I see is just, it really has to do with the heart. It's not the outward appearance. Now, sometimes the outward can reflect your heart, but not always. Okay? And I've not got time to get into that and explain all that. But the bottom line is this. There's just a lack sometimes in people. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Because, you know, he's still the same God that delivered the children of Israel from Pharaoh's bondage. He split the Red Sea. He delivered all of their enemies into their hand. He's still that same God. Now listen, we're not under the law of Moses, but that doesn't mean the Lord is not the Lord. He's not changed from desiring the fear and the honor and the respect that he so deserves. Even under the new covenant, Paul and James and different people make reference, you know, our God is as jealous a God. He desires us to follow him. And the reason he's jealous is because he loves us with such great love, he knows what's out there. Paul said it like this. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's talking about the mercy of God, not the judgment of God. The mercy of God. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship or your reasonable service. The word service there is worship. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not being conformed to this world, not just having the attitude, well, it doesn't matter. If it feels good, do it. If it's okay, it really don't matter. What is it bothering anybody? There's just such an attitude that bleeds over from the world into the church, and people, if they're not careful, even though they know God loves them, like I said, we're not under the old covenant law, thank God. But that doesn't mean we don't have such a reverence and a respect and an honor and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. What that means is God matters to us. Jesus matters to us more than anything. The Father mattered more to Jesus than anything. He only wanted to say what he heard his Father say, and he only wanted to do what he saw his Father do. Please don't put Jesus in a class all by himself and exclude yourself from the ability to do that. From having the same mind. You know, Paul said to the church, he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He knew his oneness with his Father. He knew he was equal with his father, yet he humbled himself and he followed and was obedient because he loved his father and he honored his father. The Spirit of the Lord, yes, was upon him and he was anointed. But part of that anointing and part of that Spirit working in his life as a man here on this earth was to the fear of the Lord, the honor of it, and respect and reverence of his father. I tell you, if we would allow that to work in our hearts, I think our worship services would spike. I think we would see and go to another level in worship and praise and honor. We would embrace the Word of God. You know, even in the Old Covenant, David said, I lift my hands unto your commandments, unto your words. When you sit at home, you're drinking your coffee in the morning or late at night or whatever, when you do your Bible time, your quiet time, do you ever get your Bible out and right when you open up your Bible, you just start lifting your hands to God and say, I honor, Father, your word so much in my heart and in my life. I lift my hands to, not only to you, Lord, but to your words. Somebody says, Brother Roger, you're getting a little out there. I don't know if we really have to do that. Okay. If you say so. Somebody says, I don't like your attitude. Well, pray for me. Pray for me. Please pray for me. Listen, my attitude is only to help you and me. I don't exclude myself from this. You know, I've been thinking about the scripture. You know, some Wednesday nights ago, I did a service called Follow Paul. And oh, by the way, listen, the Holy Ghost has been even talking to me about that even since that service. For example, Paul talked about people in this life. They strive for the mastery. They do things to obtain things that are really incorruptible. They want the awards. They want the prize. They want to win the game. They want to win the fight. He used even the reference of a fighter. But there's other people in life who, listen, they want the top position. They want the highest salary. I want that person's position. Okay? And they do things to obtain that. And really all that's corruptible and will fleet and perish away. Okay, and even fighters, if you go to mixed martial arts or boxers or all that, listen, them guys, they have to put their flesh under. I mean, these guys, I mean, if they really want the prize, they won't even have any, if they're married, they won't even have any intimacy with their wives for weeks. They train. They put their body under. They do all sorts of things. I mean, they go on diets. They eat certain things. They work out. You know, Paul says they do it for a corruptible prize. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, I keep my body under, and I bring it. He called his body an it. He called himself the real man on the inside, I. He said, I bring it into subjection so that after I have preached to others, okay, and tried to preach these things to people, then I myself would not be a castaway. In other words, let me say it to you like this. This applies to me just as much as the people I preach to. So what I'm saying to you, I'm not excluding myself. I want you to know that because it's important. Sometimes people say, yeah, it's easy for you to say. You're just up here preaching. No, I include myself in this because it means something to me, and I believe what God speaks to me, I just in turn around and give to you. That's what Peter and John did at the beautiful gate. They said, such as I have, give I to thee. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We got to move on. You know, I told you sometimes I could get bogged down in this. And listen, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to preach down at people. Listen, Jesus loves the church. I love the church. I love the body of Christ. Members in particular. We're not here to put people down or to preach down at people. But I'm telling you, I've noticed and I've seen in my heart, there's a lack of the fear of the Lord that has creeped over into our churches. Under the heading of grace. Where we're just under grace. He loves us. Yeah, he does love us. Yes, he does love us. And he gave himself for us. But the Bible tells us how he gave himself for us. This is new covenant. We're no longer to live for ourselves, but we're to live for him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, is he your life? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's move on. Glory to God. I got some better scriptures because I know sometimes that kind of scriptures people like, oh, can you give me something that's more nice and easy? Okay, I will. Let's go to the 26th chapter. I tell you, you start preaching things sometimes, and you can tell, you can perceive in your spirit. People just, they like to hear something else. You know, Jesus perceived people's thoughts when he was preaching and teaching. You know, they didn't say it out loud. Who gives you the authority to forgive sins? They didn't just shout it out. He perceived in their thoughts that's what they thought. You can perceive what people think, even when you're looking into a camera. Why? Because the same spirit. You don't judge with your eyes or what your ears. You're listening to something on the inside. He reveals it to you. But he also helps you to respond the proper way. Sometimes he'll have you do nothing. Most of the times, and a lot of times, first of all, he wants you to pray about it instead of just reacting. He wants you to go to him about it. Go to his word and see what the word says about it. Because the Spirit really is not going to direct you in any direction in your life to do something or respond to something that is contrary to what the Bible says. Like, bless them that persecute you. Pray for your enemies. Bless, don't curse. I wonder if that would be, if that was, had the preeminence around our country right now, I wonder if that would make a difference. If people would really be led by the Spirit of God. And if they would establish their hearts in the truth and then walk in that truth. I wonder if it would make a difference around us. Absolutely. All right, let's get on to some good stuff here. Praise God. Some people say, Pastor, you're starting to meddle now. You've gone to meddling. Let's get out of meddling. Let's preach the word. That's one thing about me. I'm not saying as a pastor we're not to address the issues of our day. We are. But you know what? I'm not so interested in sitting around and talking for an hour to you about what's on the news and how we'd respond to what's on the news. Paul told a young pastor named Timothy, he said, hey, preach the word in season and out of season. Because listen, the stuff on the news and you address it and giving what you think about it, even if it's scriptural, it ain't going to get nobody healed. That ain't going to get nobody filled with the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times people get over in pride with that. And yeah, that, anybody can take scripture and debate and use and turn that scripture to prove their point. But it's pride, it's not love, it's not the love of God. Okay, I'm going to meddling. Let's go. Hallelujah. Isaiah 26. This is a good one. This is a good one. Verse 3. This has been a key mark scripture. A keynote scripture, I should say, in my life. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. The margin of my Bible, the Hebrew word says peace, peace. Whose mind, whose thought or imagination is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, I've been in situations in my life. You've been in situations in your life. We've all been in situations in our life when we're dealing with something. We've got something going on, something that's happened that tries to steal or rob our peace from us. I mean, nobody is exempt from this. You remember, that's why I said a while ago, listen, I'm preaching to me just as much as I'm preaching to you, because the scriptures tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 that the same afflictions, not something different, the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. We go through the same things. The devil will try to isolate you, get you over here in a spiritual fog, and try to just, you know, get you self-centered on yourself, which causes a spirit of grief and sorrow, okay, in your heart just totally robs you and steals the peace of God from you. But here's how you can be in perfect peace. People come to me, and people ask me at times, you can tell they're upset. They're disturbed. And I understand. And their emotions are just everywhere. And their heart is not established. It's not settled. There's no peace. Well, how do you get peace? Because it's one thing to want peace. It's another thing even sometimes to pray for peace. And that's good. But the scripture tells us how you get peace. You get peace when you set your mind on Him. Well, how do I set my mind on Him? Let me say it to you like this. The Bible tells us, a couple of scriptures I'll give you. You remember when Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, because Jesus came back and appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. The first appearance there, Thomas was not with them. Okay? 8 days later, he appeared, Thomas was there. You know, Thomas, he just denied it and said, listen, he thought they were messing with him. He said, he just shut him up and said, listen, I'm telling you, I will not believe you unless I can see him with my eyes, unless I can put my finger, I got to touch him. I got to put my finger in his hands. I got to put my hand in his side. Okay, if I can't do that, I will not believe what you're telling me. You know, Jesus appeared to him. And he said this, he said, Thomas, he said, blessed are those who believe and yet haven't seen. Talking about with their physical eye. Peter wrote about this and he said, having not seen him, you love. Paul wrote letters to Timothy, called him the invisible God. See, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit, to Nicodemus, just like wind. You can't see wind, and you can see the effects of wind, but you can't see wind. That's the way spirit is. God is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. You know, hallelujah. So, here's what the Lord told me. He said, Roger, even though I encourage you and exhort you to walk by faith and not by sight, even though I've said in my word that having not seen me with your physical eye, you love me because you've got the witness in your heart. The Holy Spirit bears witness with us that we're the children of God. And He bears witness in other things in our life, in other scriptures. He said, yet, it's not like I don't give you something to look at. I will actually give you something that your natural eyes can see. In other words, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'm talking about in His physical glorified body. Yet His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, they're all the same. The Spirit of God is on the inside of us to bear witness. Yet He said, I give you something to see with your natural eyes. He said, I give you my words. I give you scriptures. It goes back to what we said in 2 Peter chapter 1. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these... See, you partake of something divine, something that's greater than what you're dealing with, the circumstance. You've got promises. And through these promises, you can partake of the divine nature. You can partake of a divine power, a divine ability that comes from God, His Spirit and His Word. See, the Word of God is powerful. It's quick and alive and powerful, the Scripture says, Hebrews 4:12. It's powerful. It brings a power to you. A power, what kind of power? It will keep you in perfect peace when everything else around you, it looks contrary. And the Bible tells us that the God of all peace will fill you, the God of all hope, excuse me, Romans 15:13, the God of all hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing. Well, how is He going to do that? When you go look at the Word. When you start opening up your heart. You remember that's what we talked about in Psalm chapter 1 when we started in the book of Psalms. Chapter 1. Let me carry you back. Last week we went to Proverbs chapter 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. See, when you begin to go to the Word and you find scriptures, I'm talking about promises that cover your situation that you can take and begin to look at and say, you know what? All this stuff is going on around me. All the wind is blowing. The storm is raging. But Jesus is in the boat with me. He's given me exceeding great and precious promises. I've got the Word of God. It's quick, alive, and powerful. I'll put it in my heart. It brings faith to my heart. When there's faith in your heart, there's joy and there's peace. There's a peace that passes all understanding, Paul said. And listen to this. Not only does it pass all understanding of what's going on around you, and people, you know, when they look at you, when your heart's established, they wonder why, when everybody else is sort of falling apart, there's a calm to you. Not only does it pass all understanding, but listen to me. The Bible says it keeps your heart and your mind. That's the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God who agree and work together. It's important that our hearts are established and that the peace of God rules in our heart. That's what the third chapter of Colossians says. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule there means like an umpire would make a ruling or a call. Call it a ball, a strike. Safe, out. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Listen to this. Whereunto you are called. One of your callings, your main calling is to live in peace and to let peace rule in your heart. The Holy Ghost in you is directing you and leading you. That's how you know a lot of times if it is God. Is there peace? Do you not have peace? I don't know. There's just something about it. I know it all looks good. I know it all sounds good. I know what they're saying. But something in me, I just don't have peace about this. You better pay attention to that. Because that's the Holy Ghost. That's the peace of God. That's the Spirit of God in you wanting to make the call, make the decision. I mean, we could get off in other areas. There's a lot to these things. But let me say this to you. I'm going to close this now. He'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Him. Well, sometimes because you can't see Him with your natural eyes, you believe in God. You can't see Jesus right now. He's at the right hand of the Father. But you can go to His words and you can look at His words with your eyes. And through that, you can be kept by the power of God, Peter says, through faith. Because His word brings faith to your heart. It brings peace. There's a joy. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why, listen, we don't go to church to somehow feel like that God will be pleased with us if we do. Or, you know, we get attaboys. Or, you know, if we don't go, then the Lord will be mad at us and, you know, something might happen. No, listen, you go hear the Word of God and you go to worship to get your heart established, to equip your heart, to put things on the inside of you that keeps you in peace when you walk out the door. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, here we go. I got to move because, man, we're really getting some good scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah 32. I'm not going to say much about this because you're on our Facebook Live here. You can go to our website, GFC, not KFC. We're not talking about chicken. We're talking about GFCJasper.church. We have a link. You can go to it. You can go to our archives. And I did a series back months ago on righteousness revealed. I mean, in depth. So we covered this scripture here and other scriptures that we're going to cover here just in a few minutes on righteousness. And you can get in-depth teaching on that, and I encourage you to do so. So let's look at Isaiah 32, verse 17. It says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." The work of righteousness shall be peace. Now, we've just got through talking about peace. And it says the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. The work of righteousness was through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was our substitute. Jesus came as the God-man. He came as God's representative, but He came also as man's representative because He's referred to as the last Adam. But here's the deal. What He did for us through His death, burial, and resurrection, how he became obedient even unto death. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil so that the work of righteousness would be brought into our lives. Now, righteousness is not right living here. Just like the New Covenant talks about a righteousness, it's right standing. In other words, it's a right position or place that you have with God because of Jesus. See, Jesus talked about how the Father had called him to do a work. To do a work. That work was a work of righteousness. That work that he did would provide a righteousness that God would give to us. Not something that we would obtain by what we do. It's something that he would provide for us. That's why Paul said it like this: for those who will receive the abundance of grace. God's grace came to us through his son, Jesus. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Those that would receive the work and the obedience of what Jesus would do and receive him and what he did for them. And the gift of righteousness that he would provide through his shed blood. That person will reign in life through Jesus and by him. Now, that work brought peace. What Jesus did, like when the angels in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, talked about when, at his birth, they begin to praise and magnify God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." He's talking about peace between God and man. Because through Adam's sin, if you go to Romans chapter 5, like I said, all this is in our teaching, sin caused us to come short of God's glory and God's goodness. But see, Jesus dealt with the sin. Jesus did a work that now has brought peace, nothing missing or nothing broken between you and God. See, a lot of people have this idea about God and how he feels toward them, how he looks at them. They feel unworthy from God's viewpoint. They think God blames them, points the finger at them. No, the devil's the one that points the finger at you. The devil tries to use you against you. But see, Jesus spoiled him. He took all the handwritings and ordinances and the things that were contrary to us. In other words, we had to dot the I and cross the T. And if we didn't do it all, we didn't do it all right. And if we offended in one point, we were guilty. God nailed that to the cross through his son. And he bore all that for us so that now the work of righteousness has brought peace to us. And now we have a standing with the Father. That nothing, listen to me. Oh, I got to get closer. Nothing can separate you from his love. He loves you. He loved you and me while we were yet sinners. He commended his love to us. And that's what the work of righteousness does. And so when you see that, and you see the effects of it, that's another area. The effects of it brings assurance, quietness and assurance, confidence. That means no matter where you are in life, you know he's for you, not against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Who is he that would bring a charge, an accusation against you? Jesus died for you. Who is he that would try to condemn you, say that you're unfit? If a building is condemned by the government or by the city, it means it's unfit for any occupation or anything to be, any activity. Oh, who is he that would condemn you, my brother and sister? Oh, any condemnation that you hear is either you condemning yourself or the devil's trying to condemn you. God does not condemn you. He did not send Jesus into the world, John 3:17, to condemn the world. That's just as important as the 16th verse. Let's move on. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. Can you give me a few more minutes? Can we cover our scripture in Isaiah 53 and 54, and then we'll pick it back up here Sunday. You ready? Let's go to the 53rd chapter. Oh, my, my, my. Isaiah 53, the great passion. You know, I told you that, listen, I could do series on every scripture we've talked about here tonight. We could spend weeks on a few services at least, just on one scripture. But we're not doing that. Remember? Hallelujah. Isaiah 53. But these are scriptures you need to write down. These are scriptures that you need to meditate upon and read. And get these established in your heart Talk to God about them. Pray over them. Say, Lord, teach me things about these scriptures I haven't seen. That's part of the function and the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, is to show you things, to take the things that are of Him and show them to you. He will bring light and revelation and wisdom and understanding, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, a respect and an honor. You'll begin to, there'll be such a love that comes to you through revelation, because God is love, and of Jesus, that will affect your heart in such a way. It will affect your heart. It will establish your heart, so that when you face anything, there is an assurance. There is peace. You will be in perfect peace because you've been established. And your minds have been on His words, on the truth, the reality. Because He's the truth. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Oh, glory to God. For he shall grow up. Talking about Jesus, before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus was not ugly. But some people think some Prince Charming wrote in. No, Jesus was normal. He was a man just like you and me. Hallelujah. Notice verse 3. Talking about Jesus here. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. You know, Jesus was despised and Jesus was rejected. He came to his own people and his people received him not. You think you've been rejected. And I'm not saying you have it. But oh, my brother and sister, he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He went before you. He tasted so that he can be now your faithful high priest, who will minister to you and bring grace and mercy to your life to help you in your time of need. That's who he is. Hallelujah. Notice this. We hid, as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Look at verse 4. Surely, this is a sure thing. Just like Psalm 23 we looked at a couple of weeks ago, where at the end of that psalm, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, it's like I told you, people ask me, what do you think? Well, if they're asking me what I think about me and my life, I think it's going to turn out good. I think it's going to be good for me. Why? How can you say that? Because surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, because he's my shepherd. I believed on him. I've accepted him as that in my life. I realized that I was undone. There was no way to the Father. There was no way in my life, if something ever happened to me, if this was the last day I were to live on earth, and yet I didn't know it. I knew that I needed the assurance and the certainty in my life. Well, see, the work of righteousness that he wrought for me. He was my substitute. He was the Lamb of God. He took my place. Listen, those Pharisees and those rulers and those people did not put him on the cross per se by themselves. I put him on the cross. I put him there. It was my sin. It was my separation. And he came for me. I believe this report. Listen, you don't try to figure this out with your mind. God's not a mind. You try to understand the things of God with your mind, you're not going to get there. You're going to have to get your mind renewed and let the Spirit of God bear witness in your heart. This is something you believe in your heart, not out of your head. I believe the report of Jesus. Look at this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew, literally, for griefs is sickness and disease, and the word for sorrows is pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, he was wounded and bruised for your sins and your iniquities. Yours and mine. Oh, glory to God. The chastisement of our peace, our prosperity, our well-being was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, when we get over into Matthew's gospel next week, we'll connect this with in Matthew's gospel as well. But for time's sake tonight, we're ending up here. I'm not going to go here. But I want you to know that this is such a vital, if I could say the word vital, it's such a vital word in the Bible. Isaiah 53, especially verses 4 and 5. You need to get your heart established in this. Because it has everything to do with you, spirit, soul, and body. It has everything to do with you prospering and being in health, according to 3 John verse 2. It has everything to do with it. Did I say everything? I meant to say everything. It has everything to do with your well-being and your prosperity. God takes pleasure in your prosperity. Psalm 27, verse 35. People are so ignorant of the love of God. And yet when things are abused and misused, that doesn't mean we never use it where there's no use. No, there's proper use. Just because people abuse things and abuse the Word of God doesn't mean it's not a reality and the truth of what Jesus came to do for us. He gave himself for you so that you would be totally at peace with God, in a standing with God, because of him, not you. And through your faith in him, you've been born into this place. By faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 5:2, you now have accessed yourself. Just like if you went and took a card, some type of card, and swiped it and had access into a place or into a room. Romans 5:2 says, because you believed and accepted Jesus, because you got a revelation right here of what he did, you've now accessed yourself over into a place called grace wherein you stand. And you can rejoice even when you deal with tribulations and situations in your life. Because number one, in the Father's heart, because you accepted his Son, listen, you will never be separated. You are forever in his heart. The way he looks at you is the way he looks at him, because you believed on him. As he is, so are you in this world. Help us, Lord, to see the magnitude and the purpose and the intent of the Father's heart and the Lord Jesus for us. I pray this over you tonight, and I pray this over myself. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know, have a revelation. Grace and peace would be multiplied through the knowledge of God in his word, the exceeding great precious promises. Let's go to 54. We close here. Now this is definitely, this is definitely in the teaching of our righteousness revealed on our website. And we covered this. Now, did I exhaust it all? No. No, we just scratched the surface, but we spent weeks on it. Isaiah 54, verse 7 says, for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Now see, all this is still talking about the passion. Remember, Jesus, what comes after 53? 54. This is talking about what Jesus would bear and what he would do for us. He says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord thy Redeemer. Now look at this. Are you ready? For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, you know, God is not a man that he should lie. He will never alter that which has come out of his mouth, out of his lips. You know, the water will never cover the earth like it did in the days of Noah. It will never. That's why when you see the rainbow, not only are you reminded that the waters will never be flooded to that degree, it also reminds you of God's grace. It reminds you of this scripture right here. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with you nor rebuke you. Every time you see a rainbow, don't just think about it's not going to rain like it rained in Noah's day. Think about this. Think that God has sworn in his heart concerning you that he will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. I didn't write that. God inspired it. God has sworn. He's not angry with you. He loves you. He commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. If he was going to withhold something because of our behavior, because of us being a heathen, he would have never sent Jesus to us. He loves us. Now listen, there's things that we may do that are not pleasing. Just like I said, the Bible says we can grieve the Spirit of God, but grieving the Spirit of God doesn't mean that he's wroth and he's angry in the sense that he's going to rebuke us or condemn us. No, the only people that will be condemned is the people who won't believe on the gift and the sacrifice of Jesus that God sent to us to rescue us and deliver us. Yes, there will be judgment. There will be a day of judgment. But for a believer, you're not going to the great white throne judgment. You're going to the reward seat. Not the judgment seat in the sin that he's going to rebuke you for all your sins and your wrong. All your sins and your wrong was put on him at the cross. Oh, my brother and sister, listen to this. Go down here in verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. You know, when you teach your children and you establish your house and your home in righteousness. Once again, righteousness, Paul said it like this, the gospel is the power of God to everyone that would believe. And it's the power of God unto salvation, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In other words, for you to experience the power of God that would cause you to walk in your full salvation and redemption because of Jesus, righteousness has to be revealed to you through the gospel, or through the word, or through the scriptures. Righteousness is about a position and a standing that you have because you believed on Jesus. Who you are in the spirit. What position you have in God's heart 24/7, 365. Because of Jesus. That's why true spiritual warfare, Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, the weapons of our warfare, he's the word warfare, are not carnal. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that would try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And he says this, in bringing every thought into captivity, and you bring those thoughts to the obedience of you. No, not of you. You bring those thoughts to the obedience of Christ. What he did. True warfare, when the devil's trying to can bring condemnation and saying you're not fit. Look how God doesn't see you the way everybody says he really is. Is he really that loved? Oh, listen, if he loves you that much, then why are you in this situation? You know where that's coming from? That's coming from the devil. There is an adversary that tries to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to attack us. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, he even plots and schemes things against us. You have to put on the breastplate. You have to put on the armor of God. You have to put on Jesus. You have to bring every thought to what Jesus did at you. You have to go to Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. You have to know that God's not mad at you. It's not God. God does not test or tempt man with evil. Be not deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. God has nothing to do with it. He's light. There is no darkness in him. If there's darkness, if it's dark, if there's situations going around that will try to oppress, depress you, it's not the Lord. God is good. The Lord is good. If it's not good or what's going around you is not good, it's not the Lord. God is not our problem. He's our answer. He loves you. He always loves you. Stay on the God side. I tell people this all the time. Stay on the God side, even when you don't understand, even when you can't understand it in your mind. Even you may not, hey, we don't know everything. But we do know this, that the Lord is good. God is light. There is no darkness. Stay on the God side. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I may not understand all this right now, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you. You know what? He'll keep you in peace. When you go to the word, he'll keep your heart in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Just say, Lord, I trust you. Even though everything around me is contrary, I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my understanding, to everything that's trying to mess with my mind. I'm going to get my mind renewed. I'm going to go to the word and see what the Bible says about it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You're never promised that you'll never have a weapon formed against you. But the promise you have here is that thing that tries to come against you, it does not have to prosper. It does not have to carry out its assignment. Matter of fact, you can condemn it. Look at this. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Your righteousness is of God. It's of Jesus. It's not of you. So because your righteousness means a standing, a position you're in because of the Lord. So you can stand in your spiritual position and you can take authority and condemn the weapon that's trying to form against you to prosper. You can command, you can take authority over the devil. You can cast out devils. That's what it means. You take authority over it and say, listen, you desist. I cancel your assignment against my life. You formed against me, but you will not prosper. I condemn. And even things that's been said, any report. Whose report are we going to believe? We're going to go back to Isaiah 53 and believe the report about Jesus. We're going to not act carnal and walk in the flesh. We're going to walk in true spiritual warfare. We're going to take everything that's coming against us and we're going to bring it to the obedience of Jesus and how he laid down his life and gave himself for us and delivered us from this present evil world, Galatians 1:4. We're going to stand on the solid rock, which is Jesus. And we are redeemed by his blood. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You stand in this position, not because you put yourself there. He puts you there. And God is with you and for you because of Jesus. And you can stand now in this place because he's imputed righteousness to you, and now you can exercise faith, and you can speak faith-filled words, and you can condemn, and you can take authority, and you can resist the devil, and you can rebuke him, just like Jesus did, because you're a joint heir. You're an equal heir with Jesus now. You're one with him because you believed on him. And when you believed on him, you put yourself over into place now wherein you stand, and you're in this place because of faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you're in this place. Glory to God. Establish your heart in these things, especially in these end days, because I'm telling you, it's not going to decrease. The scripture tells us it will wax worse and worse. And that, listen to me, but he's talking about the world. He didn't say it's going to wax worse and worse for the church, for his bride. Let me tell you something. When we're called up and we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the church, the bride of Christ, is not going to limp in there, dress all torn. Excuse me, I'm not trying to be graphic. You know how you see women in the movies, Westerns? They got violated, their shirts are torn, hanging half down. This is who the bride is. We just come out of the earth here. We're all bloodied and beat up, black eyes, hair all messed up. We ain't even got no shoes. That's the way a lot of people think the church is going to be at the end. Yeah, it's going to wax worse and worse for the world, but not for the church. Just like, listen to me, in an old covenant, which is a type and a shadow, when there was gross darkness in the land of Egypt, there was light in Goshen. Are you listening? You're the bride of Christ. You're his bride. He loves you, and he gave himself for you. Establish your heart in him and who you are in him. And it will equip you, sustain you, and prepare you for the rest of your days here. And you can run your race with joy, and you can finish your course with joy. And you can say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Now I'm ready to be offered up. Can you say amen? God bless you. Father, thank you so much for those who have joined in. I know we've gone a little bit longer tonight. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for staying with me in spirit. Thank you, Lord. I believe it's important. And we honor you. And we thank you so much because it's all of you and of your grace and love toward us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for us. Thank you for making the way that the greater one could come and indwell us and help us and live in us. and bear witness in our hearts that these things are true. And these things can be in our hearts. The truth can be in our hearts, and we can walk in it. We thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll be back here Sunday morning. We'll have service here. Praise God. People will be gathering here at 10:30. But we'll be live on Facebook at 11 a.m. You have a great week. Hallelujah. You know, listen, you can because he strengthens you. And so just take hold of that. No matter where you are now, believe for strength and for better every day. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.